This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Senate takes up abortion. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Wednesday, May 11th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A bill protecting abortion rights is scheduled for a vote in the Senate today. We'll examine what's in it.
The House has approved $40 billion in aid to Ukraine. 57 Republicans voted no. Here are the reasons.
Gas prices have reached another high after several weeks of slight declines. President Biden says he feels your pain.
And boosting your mental health by learning to say no.
We want to be liked. You know, we don't want to let people down. And the hardest people to say no to are our closest family and friends. And this is because, again, we don't want to let them down. But also, those are the people who think we're going to say yes regardless.
Elizabeth Bernstein at the Wall Street Journal on why declining requests is crucial for more balanced and meaningful lives. From Capitol Hill, the House has approved more than $40 billion in additional funding for Ukraine as Congress races to keep military aid flowing and boost the government in Kyiv as it grapples with the Russian invasion. The House passed the Ukraine spending bill by a vote of 368 to 57. The 57 no votes came from Republicans. Some in the GOP criticized Democrats for moving too quickly to send too many taxpayer dollars abroad. Texas Republican Kay Granger voted yes.
More resources are needed to provide military assistance to Ukrainian forces, address a humanitarian crisis created by this conflict, and support our allies in the region.
The measure now heads to the Senate, which is expected to act quickly. The package includes $6 billion for security assistance, including training, equipment, weapons, and support, $8.7 billion to replenish stocks of U.S. equipment sent to Ukraine, and nearly $4 billion for European command operations. After a few weeks of slight declines, the price of gas is on the march again. AAA says the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded reached $4.37 yesterday. That's a 47% increase from a year ago that marked a record high. President Biden.
The fact is, the average cost of a barrel of oil has been steady for weeks. So why do gas prices keep going up so high? Republicans had offered plenty of blame, but not a single solution to actually bring down the energy prices.
Republican Senator Rick Scott from Florida.
Joe Biden gave a talk this morning, blamed everybody else on inflation. He took no responsibility and has no plan.
California's price, by the way, remains the highest in the nation at $5.84 a gallon. Levers pulled by the Biden administration have had little, if any, impact. The EPA issued an emergency waiver last month that allows gas stations to sell high ethanol content gasoline this summer, despite concerns about increasing air pollution. The White House also tapped oil supplies from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, but gas prices have continued to go up. Senate Democrats are leading a vote today they know will fail, a formality that's part of a larger effort to save Roe v. Wade by turning the ruling into the law of the land. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
The Supreme Court, if this becomes the decision, has obviously said this is ripe for discussion in Democratic bodies. We happen to be a Democratic body. Schumer is proving that by having us vote on it. Tomorrow.
So what exactly is in the measure? We're joined by Candy Woodall, Congress reporter at USA Today. Candy, take us through the politics first.
They're looking at a bill that would make Roe v. Wade law of the land. And they don't have the 60 votes needed to overcome a filibuster. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer knows he may not even have the votes of all 50 Democrats to save abortion rights. But he is pushing forward with this plan because his goal is to get every senator on record. And he wants to do that before the midterm.
Okay, so specifically, what's in this bill besides making
Roe, the law of the land? Like what happens, for example, with all these state laws that are currently in effect or trying to be put into effect?
It would stop all of those state laws. It would supersede those state laws. It would also remove barriers for people to get medication or to use telemedicine, which we know became very popular during the pandemic. Many people getting abortions access that care through telemedicine. They get prescriptions for pills. There are states that are trying to outlaw pills now. This would keep all of that in place. It would also remove some hurdles that abortion clinics have to go through. You know, it would remove some of those barriers. That's all in this bill. There are also things taken out of this bill that were in the previous version that failed in the Senate. The previous version included language about racism and gender, and they've taken some of that language out of this bill in hopes that they could get more people on board to pass it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like the votes have moved at all since this vote failed in February.
We're speaking with Candy Woodall, Congress reporter at USA Today. She's written a piece that's entitled "Senate Bill Protecting Abortion Rights Would Bar Waiting Periods and Arbitrary Clinic Regulations." And the strategy here is for what? By Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, just to try to somehow punish Republicans in the midterm elections?
What Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said repeatedly since last Monday is that he is going to make sure that every American knows where every senator stands on the issue. Democrats, of course, see this as a major campaign issue for midterms now, and those votes will be, you know, a record. Now, many of these senators, I'd say most of them, have already made their position clear, especially in recent months, about where they stand on this issue. This will just formally make a record of it, a voting record of it. And I'm sure you will see how certain senators voted appear in new midterm ads.
Also, it brings up again the issue of the filibuster, right, which I believe Massachusetts mm-hmm. Senator Elizabeth Warren says she's really mad about, that that they're not being able to work beyond this.
There are some Democrats pushing to do away with the filibuster. That is not going to happen. And also, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said on the record this week that he would not use, if he gets a majority, he would not use the filibuster to create a nationwide ban on abortion rights. So far it seems like you still have, you know, both party leaders saying, you know, that's not going to be the move here. They're not going to use the filibuster or try to get rid of the filibuster in order to pass anything on this.
So I'm not sure what the timeline might look like, but let's say this measure does not pass Wednesday, then the Supreme Court renders its decision. Would the Senate or would the House perhaps revisit something like this?
The House is already pushing to revisit something like this. Speaker Nancy Pelosi sent a Dear Colleague letter to everybody, I think it was Sunday night or maybe early Monday morning, and it basically implied that they would have to take, you know, more action and respond to this.
Thanks, Candy. Candy Woodall, Congress reporter at USA Today.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. A closely watched West Virginia primary has another winner, supported by former President Trump. Congressman Alex Mooney defeated fellow House member David McKinley. The two faced each other because West Virginia's congressional delegation will shrink from 3 seats to 2. All 3 are currently held by the GOP. Mr. Mooney earned an endorsement from Mr. Trump after Mr. McKinley voted in favor of last year's $1 trillion infrastructure package.
Donald Trump loves West Virginia, and West Virginia loves Donald Trump.
However, in Nebraska, the gubernatorial candidate supported by Mr. Trump in the GOP primary lost. Charles Herbster lost his contest to Jim Pillen, a member of the University of Nebraska Board of Regents, as well as a veterinarian and a pig farmer.
We are incredibly, incredibly humbled and honored to serve as your nominee for the Republican nomination to be the next governor of Nebraska.
Mr. Herbster, by the way, was accused of groping 8 women, including a GOP state senator. He has denied the allegations. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Ukraine's allies in the West appear to be preparing for a long war with no resolution to the conflict between Moscow and Kyiv on the horizon. The U.S. believes Russian President Vladimir Putin is preparing for a long conflict in Ukraine, and a Russian victory in the Donbas in the east of the country may not end the war. Meanwhile, the House has passed legislation set to deliver $40 billion in military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Putin decided whatever it is he decided to be brutal and cruel and a coward, that we were there to help.
The measure now heads to the Senate.
Number two.
President Biden said he could drop some of the tariffs imposed against Chinese imports to help control rising consumer prices, just as Wall Street braces for another inflation report north of 8%. The White House is reviewing the penalties imposed under former President Trump, which raised prices on everything from diapers to clothing to furniture, and could opt to remove them altogether. The extent to which removing Trump's taxes on Chinese products would cool inflation is a matter of debate among economists.
Number three.
Casey White, the Alabama inmate who was captured Monday in Indiana, along with a former corrections officer after a multi-day manhunt, had 4 handguns, several semi-automatic weapons, and $29,000 in cash with him. Vandenberg County, Indiana Sheriff Dave Wedding.
Members of the U.S. Task Force basically rammed the vehicle and pushed it into a ditch. And we later found out, had they not done that, the fugitive was going to engage in a shootout with law enforcement.
Casey White surrendered to authorities following the wreck. Vicky White was pronounced dead hours after the crash. Big changes may be coming to Netflix a lot sooner than expected. The New York Times says the streaming company plans to launch a lower-priced ad-supported tier and crack down on password sharing before the end of this year. Last month, Netflix co-CEO Reed Hastings said such moves were being considered, but suggested they would happen over the next year or two. The plans are being sped up as Netflix continues to lose hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, learning to say no. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Thanks for being with us. No has never been an easy word to say, especially to the people we care about most. Yet many of us are now fielding more invites and requests than we have in years. We're also burnt out on stress and schedules that often seem like all work and no fun. But Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein says we need to think of saying no as the ultimate self-care strategy. Elizabeth, explain.
I mean, we're very eager to get back out there. Most of us just, you know, it was not great sitting around for 2 years and saying no to everything. So we're eager to get back out there. But the thing is, it can be very overwhelming. And also, during the pandemic, I think a lot of people thought about how they want to rebuild their lives going forward when we do get to go back out. You know, we want to have some lives of meaning. We're trying to take forward some lessons. So to have a meaningful, balanced life, we are going to have to set priorities. And that means saying no more often.
Why is it hard to say no, Elizabeth?
you know, we want to be liked. You know, we don't want to let people down. And the hardest people to say no to are our closest family and friends. And this is because, again, we don't want to let them down. But also, those are the people who think we're going to say yes regardless. And also, they may experience our no as a rejection of them, not the request. You know, so if my sister asks me to, you know, go to her daughter's recital, when I say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, she doesn't hear, you know, Elizabeth busy. She hears Elizabeth doesn't care about us, doesn't care about her niece. So that's a big problem. It makes it very hard to say no.
Wow. And for some people, it's harder than others, you said?
Yes. People who have anxiety, it's hard. You know, people who have social anxiety, people who are conflict avoidant. But also the research shows women have trouble with it. And it's because of the expectations in society that women are helpful, they're caring. You know, really, society expects women to show up and say yes if they're asked. So it's harder than in that environment for women to say no.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. She said yes to conducting this interview, thankfully. Her piece is called Boost Your Mental Health by Saying No. So how do you say no?
So you want to start out by taking a moment to really think. Don't rush your answer. Because, again, studies show that we think that other people expect an answer from us quicker than they do. So take a moment and think it out. And you don't have to say it. If it's an email or text, it gives you a moment to think, that kind of a computerized technology. But also if it's in person, if someone asks you something in person, they put you on the spot, you're not sure what to do, you don't have to have a knee-jerk reaction, because often that knee-jerk reaction will be a yes. You can take a moment and you can stall a little bit. You can say, hey, you know what? I really need to think about this for a few minutes. Can I get back to you?
I thought it was interesting, too. Somebody in your story said, no can be a complete sentence.
Yes, this is a good saying. No can be a complete sentence. This same woman said, you don't need all the long BS excuse. Like, you just need no. But I would also say no needs a thank you up front. Thank you, I'd love to, but. So you're going to make the other person feel a lot better, less personally rejected, if you show some appreciation for their request.
Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. Recapping the best way to say no. Number one, don't rush. Number two, start with thank you. Number three, be honest. Number four, soften the blow. She says you can do this by offering to do something else for the person. And number five, stay firm, because some people refuse to take no for an answer. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect? The taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. As the Federal Reserve tightens, mortgage rates have spiked at a record pace. That means big names and the lesser-known mortgage tech startups have laid off scores of employees in recent weeks. More from Dakin Campbell, chief financial correspondent at Insider. Dakin, what's trending?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm afraid to say, I think we're sort of at the beginning of a wave of layoffs to come to the mortgage industry over the coming, you know, many months. Mortgage rates increased by the most in decades in March. They've kept increasing through April and into May. You know, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates this week. You know, higher mortgage rates means fewer mortgages to write. And so a lot of these firms find that they've got too many people for the amount of activity they're getting in the door, and they're taking steps to you know, reduce positions.
All right. So you got some behind the scenes stuff here. You opened the piece with what happened at Wells Fargo late April. Take us through that.
Yeah. So, you know, Wells Fargo cut at least hundreds, you know, if not thousands, it's probably in the hundreds, to be honest, at least at this point, of people across a bunch of their markets in late April. We were able to speak to some of the people that were affected, and, you know, one of the markets that was involved was Des Moines, where Wells Fargo's mortgage operation has a big business and a big footprint. And so a lot of these folks, you know, were seeing their pipeline decline. You know, they weren't working on as many mortgages as they had been in past months. And so they started getting inkling. But then an email arrived in their inboxes requiring them to attend a mandatory conference call. And it was on that conference call that they learned that their job with Wells Fargo had been eliminated.
We're speaking with Dakin Campbell, chief finance correspondent at Insider. He's written a piece about how high-flying mortgage startups like Better and then the more traditional lenders like Wells Fargo are laying off lots of employees. How about the startups? What's happening on their front?
Yes. So many of the startups targeted a sector of the mortgage market that was refinances. You know, when you start talking to people that underwrite mortgages, they will tell you that refinancings are the easiest loans to do. You know, they're basically just repapering a loan that's been done already. And so many of the tech startups that entered the mortgage market targeted refinancings. You know, Better was one of them. They sort of came on the scene in the last few years, very strong, hired thousands of people, and the bulk of their business was refis. Now, the first business that goes away when mortgage rates increase, certainly as quickly and as sharply as they've done in these last few months, is refis. So there is really no refi business left to speak of. And so Better and others have taken sort of drastic measures to reduce the size of their workforce as quickly as they can.
Yeah. I guess some of the veterans in your story said that's kind of the nature of the ebb and flow of this business sometimes, or this industry.
Yes, that's for sure. And particularly people at the traditional lenders like a Wells Fargo or B of A, they are aware of the cyclicality of the industry, and they sort of, you know, some of them have some dark humor around the down parts of the cycle. But, you know, a lot of these startups hired people outside of the mortgage market. So Better, for example, relied a lot on the hospitality industry and the sales industry for getting a lot of its underwriters and loan agents. And so those folks are, you know, their own industries that they were coming from was cyclical, but they weren't quite as familiar or prepared for the cyclicality of the mortgage market.
Yeah.
And so some of them that we spoke to really did not see this coming and have been left a little bit out in the cold, unfortunately.
Thanks, Dakin. Dakin Campbell, chief financial correspondent at Insider. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate
at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it feels like it's been a minute since we talked about salty snacks, which is far too long, and we have two such stories to talk about today. First, we go to the movies, where audiences have returned, and the summer blockbuster season is already underway. Now, everyone knows that movie theater popcorn is a ripoff, but we buy it anyway because it's part of the movie-going experience. But now, one theater worker has gone viral for showing us how to save money at the snack counter. A man named June Long posted a video on TikTok explaining that buying a bigger container of popcorn doesn't necessarily mean you'll be getting more of it. He illustrates this by dumping a junior-sized bag of popcorn into a medium bucket. And you can clearly see that the junior amount of popcorn fills the bucket all the way to the top, but costs nearly a dollar less. The clip's been watched over a million times and seemed to confirm everyone's suspicions about movie snacks, with many commenters saying that's why they sneak in their own snacks, while others were fearful that, after his viral video, June's days working at the movies may be numbered.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
I think we all know that popcorn is an enormous ripoff at movie theaters.
Yeah, and the soda, too. I went to the movies this past Friday, and I could not believe that a soda now costs like $8.
Oh,
when,
man.
You know, I think it's about 30 cents or less, probably, you know, for them. The cost for them is about $8. I think I paid $17 for my popcorn and soda, something along those lines.
I generally don't get that. For some reason, I feel like soda and popcorn is an automatic stomach ache for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And I could eat rotting food, and it generally doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
For some reason, that combo at a movie theater. And Mike and Ike's. I think that's all I've ever eaten at a movie theater. Mike and Ike. I never eat Mike and Ike's like anywhere else.
A solid choice.
At any other time of year, right?
Yeah, it's just, they're like Raisinettes. Nobody eats Raisinettes or Goobers outside of the movie theater. Those are something you only eat when you're at a movie theater.
I guess so.
And Pringles may not be everyone's favorite potato chip, but they are tasty nonetheless and can be fun to eat out of the can. The signature trait of Pringles, of course, is that they all look exactly the same. So when you get a Pringles chip that looks different, it can make you do a double take. And for one person, it made them go right to eBay. A man from the UK has put one single Pringles chip up for sale on eBay for nearly $2,500. The listing touts the sour cream and onion chip for its complete fold on the top edge that lines up perfectly with the rest of it. It's also listed as brand new, unused, unopened, and undamaged item. And if you don't have $2,500 in cash lying around for such an extravagant purchase, you could select the financing option, $118 a month for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow.
I mean, it seems like a bargain when you do it like that. It's like when you buy a new phone, right?
Yeah.
You pay $30 a month for 2 years. It doesn't even seem like it's $1,000 or whatever it turns out to be.
Interest-free?
Yeah.
You don't want a $2,500 chip. Which made me think, by the way, when we're talking chips, which is an absolute food staple for me.
Right.
Sea salt and cracked pepper brand of kettle chips.
Yeah, those are good.
I don't think, found anything better than that.
Yeah, the crunchier the better, for sure, when it comes to chips.
And if I may, just drag it through a little bit of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, and you are living.
You are plussing those chips.
You are.
For like sure. That. Plusing your chip experience.
Right. Thank you, Mike.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Baby formula is the latest in a series of products to become scarce on retail shelves. For months,
Securing baby formula has been a struggle as supply chain setbacks have taken a toll, but those problems were compounded when Abbott Nutrition, a unit of Abbott Labs that produces formula under the brand name Similac, Elicare, and Alimentum, recalled products in February. Abbott asked consumers to return products due to contamination concerns at a Michigan plant. MarketWatch says to manage inventory, drugstore chains CVS and Walgreens issued restrictions on purchases, limiting shoppers to three products at a time, and said they were working with vendors and suppliers to secure more supply. In the face of the shortage, Google searches for baby formula DIY recipes spiked this week, but pediatricians and the American Academy of Pediatricians strongly advise against making your own. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The House has passed a bill that's set to deliver $40 billion in military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. The House voted 368 to 57 after President Biden urged quick congressional action and stepping up support for Kyiv in its war against Russia. All 57 no votes came from Republicans. The measure now heads to the Senate, where Mitch McConnell is minority leader.
I had a chance to call the president last week and request that the Ukraine package move by itself and quickly.
Number two.
Record gas prices are rearing their ugly head again at an especially bad time for commuters and travelers. Just weeks before Memorial Day weekend, the launch of the summer travel season, AAA says the national average for a gallon of gas popped to $4.37, topping the record of $4.33 set in early March. The latest spike is powered by last week's news that European Union leaders are calling for a ban on imported Russian oil.
Number three.
A massive wildfire in New Mexico has surpassed 200,000 acres of burned brush as high winds and hot temperatures keep containment at bay. On the fire's 35th day, the prognosis from federal fire officials is grim. Gusts reached 48 miles per hour yesterday, and temperatures in the upper 90s are forecast for the weekend. The fire's containment stayed unmoved at 39%. Split results for Donald Trump-backed candidates in two primaries yesterday. Republican voters in Nebraska picked Jim Pillen as their nominee for governor, siding with the University of Nebraska regent over a rival supported by Trump and accused of groping multiple women. Representatives Alex Mooney and Carol Miller, two incumbent West Virginia Republicans backed by Trump, won their respective primaries. More than 20 years after Apple's iPod first revolutionized how people could listen to music, the company has announced it's discontinuing the MP3 player. The iPod Touch will be available only as long as supplies last. 9 to 5 Mac editor Chance Miller.
To see the iPod just kind of being discontinued and sent off into the sunset once and for all, it's a big deal. It's the end of an era.
Apple notes that its iPhone, Apple Watch, iPad, and HomePod Mini all duplicate the iPod's music streaming abilities.
Well, if there's a hall of fame for such things, I guess the iPod belongs in it, or the iPod Touch, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Thanks for being with us. A Rhode Island police officer who thought he was responding to an overdose call instead delivered a baby girl born roughly 25 weeks premature. Officer Connor Doyle of the Woonsocket Police Department told Fox News that police received a call asking for a check on a family member with a history of drug use. The caller was fearful that her loved one may have overdosed. When he arrived on the scene, Mr. Doyle found evidence of narcotics use, and the woman was also 90% of the way in delivering a baby. He and his partner joined local firefighters to help. The child, a baby girl, is being cared for in the neonatal intensive care unit. The mother, whose identity is being protected for privacy reasons, told officers she was unaware of the pregnancy and relapsed on narcotics. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.